service.
Happy to be in the house of the Lord, be back with you. It's been, seemed like forever. And but I'm just happy to be back with you, and I want to thank everyone for your prayers over our trip to Mexico. We wanted to give a report today, but I just couldn't get everything straightened out in time for today. I tried, and I spent about 5 hours yesterday, and it just wasn't working. So technical stuff with the videos and stuff that we had, so we're not going to do it today, but we will be doing it. It's going to be a couple of weeks. I know Sister Vicky's going to be going to Louisiana camp next weekend, and then Brother Daniel's got an appointment to minister in Texas the following weekend. So, Lord willing, the next weekend after that is when we'll have our missions report. I'll do what I can to get everything straightened out between now and then, but just want to thank everybody for your prayers. And I will say that, you know, once you get down there on a trip like this, you can see that the Lord had his hand in every little aspect of everything. And shouldn't surprise us, but anyway, it's good to know that people back at home are praying for you. And I also want to thank you for your prayers with last weekend with the funeral there with my dad and his wife passing. So I'm sure he'd appreciate that we would continue to pray for him, but I think he's going to be okay. He's he does have a love for the Lord, so I'm sure that gives him the strength to get through it. But anyway, so I want to go ahead and get into the scriptures this morning, and I'm going to tell you, you just have to bear with me, but the Lord hasn't, he keeps bringing me back to the couple of sermons that I have ministered a few weeks back on Without Sensation. He's still brought me back to it again, and so that's what we're going to do today. We're going to do this, obeying the voice of the angel. This will be part 11 of that, but Without Sensation part 3. I'm not trying to be a part this, part that person, but anyway, we are the 11th hour people, and this is part 11, so maybe this will help us. And so Without Sensation part 3, and the scripture says with the mouth of two or three witnesses, so maybe perhaps today this third witness of what the Lord is wanting me to share with you will get accomplished, whatever it is he wants to accomplish. But he keeps bringing me back to it, so we're going to cover that today. And I'll have to review just a little bit to get you up to speed, but we'll get somewhere in just a little bit. So you pull. And, you know, I heard Brother Claude say many times, I've heard him say that, you know, science says that we have to hear something about 16 to 18 times before we finally grasp it all. And I don't know if that's the case here. Maybe it is for some, maybe it isn't for some of the others or whatever. But so you just, you know, you pull, and I'm sure the Lord will speak something to your heart. And so let's go ahead and read. We're going to read Exodus chapter 23, verse 20. To 22, I believe it is. So this is where God is speaking. He says, "Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries." Amen. I could use an enemy to my enemies, couldn't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
And well, he's promised to give that to us. Okay, we want to read Matthew chapter 24. This is another scripture we read in previous sermons. Matthew chapter 24, starting at verse 23. "Then if any man shall say unto you," now remember, this is Brother Branham, when he went through the seven seals, he showed the seven seals were preached in Matthew chapter 24. And you find here we're getting close. This is the portion at the end time. Okay, so he's telling you this is for us.
Right.
And at that end time, "Then if any man shall say to you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. And then I want to go to Luke chapter 1, and this will be the scripture we pull from on where we want to go today as we finally get there. And this is about the Virgin Mary. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born in thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Let's just bow our hearts to him. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we just want to come to you this morning with thanksgiving in our heart. Lord, we know this is a time and a place that's sanctified for your presence, and we're asking God that you just come and be in this service. Actually, Lord, we believe and know that you're already here. So, Lord, we just want to surrender ourselves to you. We want to have liberty in this service. We know where your spirit is. There is liberty, but we want you to have liberty in their service this morning. Speak to our hearts and be able to do and say and travel through the aisles and touch every heart, Lord. And we're so thankful to know that you know exactly where each one of us are in our walk and what we need today. And so we're asking, God, that you just would come and by your word that you would speak and help your people today. We love you, Lord, and commit this time into your hands. And as always, we ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And you can be seated. It's so good to be back home. You know, well, I don't want to get on a rabbit trail, but some of these modern-day churches are something else. So, you know, really happy to enjoy being back home. We had wonderful services there in Mexico, but you know, last week was a little bit of a really, really tough weekend for me in many ways. But anyway, so we want to talk this morning again, as I said, without sensation. And so I'm going to read a quote to start with where Brother Branham talked about this. And the reason why I keep wanting to stress this, obey the voice of the angel, is because obviously you know that we believe God sent an angel in our day. The angel of the Lord was speaking to Brother Branham, just like the angel of the Lord was speaking to the prophet Moses. And I really believe that that the words that he has been given to us, that God gave to him to speak to us, that those are the words that are going to correct what's wrong with us, because without it, we're not on a pathway to rapture. We're not on a pathway of a good end. And so God has injected this end-time ministry to get a hold of us and to pull us away from the directions that we've been going and bring us into that pathway that would lead us to the place that he's prepared for us. He gave us this angel to do that. And so I keep stressing that, and I'll say a few more comments about that. But I'm going to read this quote, and this is where Brother Ram was talking about the mysteries of this hour. I read it here the other day, but just so you can be refreshed, he says, and these are some of the mysteries that this angel is supposed to wind up, all the mysteries of God. And may I say this with reference, and not referring to myself, but referring to the angel of God, the serpent seed that's been hid, a hidden mystery throughout the years, the grace straightened out, not disgrace, but real, true grace. Now, these are things that are mysteries that God was going to bring truth to us. And when, you know, he would bring these to us, it would give us great advantage in our walk to know these things. So we should really say, you know, God, I really want to understand this grace. Because your prophet said, not disgrace, right? But true grace. So there's a tremendous help to us to know about serpent seed, to know about true grace and the things he's listing here. And so grace straightened out, not disgrace, but true grace. No such thing as eternal burning hell. You'll burn for millions of years, but anything that was eternal never had a beginning or end, and hell was created. And all these mysteries. And he says, and the mystery of the baptism of the Holy Ghost without cessation. But the person of Christ performing in you the same works that he did. That's just some of them that he mentioned. But so the mystery, one of the mysteries being the baptism of the Holy Ghost without cessation.
Right.
You say, I felt something. No, you didn't. You might have felt something, but that wasn't him coming in, right? So he said, the mystery of the baptism of the Holy Ghost without cessation, but Christ in you, the same one, in you. Well, if he's in you, how'd he get there? Wasn't by sensation.
Come on.
You didn't feel nothing? Nobody touched you, right? You didn't run to some ministry to get it,
right?
He came into you somehow without sensation, and now he's in you performing the same things that he did. That's what he's telling us, see?
Right.
And that it's a mystery of the age. Well, you know what? I want to know this. I want to know these things because it's through these things, that these mystery truths, that when he gets them to us, he takes us off of these pathways running off out here and brings us to the pathway that's going to take us to the rapture.
Right.
It's these mystery truths that have come that's only to you, only to the bride. And so he got there, Christ in us, doing the same works. And so in the scripture there in Exodus where he said he sent an angel to keep us in the way, and I just said his message would basically take away all the nonsense out of our walks and bring us into the place where we need to be. And now, if you remember, I mentioned here the other day that, you know, he says that don't provoke this one because he won't pardon your transgression. He will not pardon your transgression, for my name is in him. And we've shown you how that's shown you that the presence of God has come. And he's going to lead us in that pathway. And if we do not obey that voice, then we're not going to be in the pathway that takes us to rapture.
Right?
So if we're disobedient to that word of that messenger, that angel, then we're not on the pathway. We get off somewhere else. And if we're off somewhere else, we're not going to make it. And if you don't make it, how can he pardon you?
Right.
See? So when I see this, I see the finality of the message of the last age. This is the last chance to get it.
Right.
Because if you transgress this angel's voice, you're not going to be in rapture.
Right.
And there's no way to reverse it.
Right.
See? So we got to stay with what he says, or there's no pardoning to it. It's not that God doesn't want to pardon somebody. It's just that through his program, we've reached a place where he's about ready to gather by everybody up. And once he gathers everybody, he can't come back and gather again.
Right.
See? So that to miss that final gathering is the place that, you know, we want to make sure we're in there. And so he won't pardon the disobedience. And so he says here, I mentioned a while ago, that if we will obey his voice, then God said, I'll be an enemy to your enemy. Right? And so what you find out there is that as we listen to the voice of the angel, as we follow him and obey him, any enemy that comes up before you, God will take care of it.
Yep.
I don't care what it is. It doesn't make a bit of difference. How big, how little, how many, how few, where it come from, how long it's been, whatever it is, God will be an enemy to that. If it's something there to try and keep you from making it, to keep you from walking in this victory that's been told you can have, then God is the enemy to that, and you just have to believe that and have to dispatch him, as it were, to that situation daily and let him take care of it.
Right.
And he's promised that he will do it. And so, for me, I want to say, God, help me catch what that angel is saying. Help me understand what he's saying so that I am walking in that pathway that you have sent him to make sure we get into. And so then we went on in previous sermons, we were talking about Matthew 24. And so at the end time, he was saying that at the end time there would be false prophets, false Christ that would rise up. Do you know why Jesus put that in there? Because at the end time, there were going to be false prophets and false Christ.
That's right.
And the scripture said, we read it, they would show great signs and wonders. The scriptures didn't say they would just peddling around. He said they would show great signs and wonders, that they would be such powerful signs and wonders that if it was possible, it would deceive the elect. And you know, it's not possible to deceive the elect.
Right.
But that's how powerful of these ministries are going to be at the end time. And Jesus said, this is going to happen. Mm-hmm. Now I'm telling you, he says, I've told you this. I want you to know this. Because this is going to happen. There's going to be ministries rise up. And they are going to be such that they would deceive the very elect if possible. You remember in the Old Testament, it says, now, if I send a prophet and he prophesies something comes to pass, then believe him. But then it also says that if there's a dreamer of dreams or a prophet that rises up and he says something and it comes to pass, howbeit he's leading you away from me, don't listen to him.
Right.
So both cases, signs and wonders, prophecies coming to pass, both cases, one of them you listen to, one of them you don't. What's the difference? The difference is the voice behind that sign.
Right.
One of them is going to lead you to God, one's leading you away. It doesn't make no difference whether it's the miracles or not. It's the voice that matters. And that's why Brother Graham came along in our day and he preached to us the voice behind the sign. Because we live in a day where there's all kinds of ministry with signs and wonders and all that kind of stuff. But Jesus said, don't go.
Right.
Don't listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He's telling us here to how to make sure that we catch the right ministry at the right time when it comes. And so he says, these would rise up. And it's the same today now. If there's a ministry rises up and the voice behind that sign is contrary to the word, then get away from it. And so that was the same thing in the Old Testament. So God permits these ministries to rise up to show great signs and wonders because his test to you has got to go beyond the sign and the wonder. His test to you has to go beyond some loud clap of thunder that shakes through the mountains and somebody standing there telling you something contrary to the word.
Right.
It has to be greater than that, see? Our test has to take us right down to, do we believe the word regardless of whether we feel it, hear it, you know, sense it or whatever, but it's the word.
Yeah.
And so that's what this test is bringing us to. And so Jesus said they would come, and he said, when somebody says, lo here or lo there, he says, don't believe it. If they tell you it's off over here in this place, the desert, don't go. So all these ministries are going to rise up, and they're going to tell you, God's working in this right here. And in order to be part of what God's doing, you got to run off over to this place. Or you got to go sit underneath this man's ministry. Or you got to run and do this. Or you got to run and do that. And we've heard it all of our lives.
Right.
And you know what this is? Pentecostalism.
Yeah.
They're hooked on signs. They're hooked on tongues and evidence and feelings and sensations. And God is saying, you got to go beyond that.
Yeah.
See? And so he's telling you here that when these people rise up and they tell you, oh, Christ, this is a move of God, and he's over here, you got to run over here. He said, don't even believe it.
Right.
Don't follow it. And he explains to us, you don't have to go following after a man or go following to some geographic location. And it's funny, you know, Brother Branham is told to go to the west, to go out there and open the seals. And guess what? A whole bunch of people up and they follow him right out there.
That's
right. See? He didn't want that.
No.
If you listen to the tapes, you know how he had to address that. And you know what happened to those people, a bunch of them, when they went out there.
Mm-hmm.
See? There's no way to get around it. God's word is right, and we have to follow that word. And so all these ministries are going to rise up, and some of them show signs and wonders. And Jesus said, don't, because that's not it.
Right.
So he goes on and he says, So this coming of the Son of Man, it will be like the lightning that shines out of the east into the west. Now, you know the word lightning. If lightning struck out in this parking lot, light from that would go in all directions, not just east to west. But if you look at that, it's referring to the sunlight, like the sunlight or the gospel light. A natural typing spiritual, the sun starts in the east, goes to the west, and the gospel light started in the Middle East and over the years migrated westward. So we know that. So Jesus is saying, when they tell you, got to go sit underneath this ministry, got to go over here and sit underneath that ministry, right? Why did God take Brother Branham away?
Come on.
Because if he was still here, we'd be running off over here and running off over there, and we would not get what it is he's wanting us to have.
That's right.
Right? And so then after Brother Branham's gone, now you got all kinds of other people rise up. Both here in America, down in Mexico, and overseas, there's men. There's no shortage of men to try and say, look at me, I'm the next man. Come rally around me. Right? I'm the next one. If you want to continue on with what God has done through this prophet, the next step, then you got to be with me if you want to have it. Wrong. See? Because he says the way this is going to happen, the way this coming of the Son of Man, the way this end time thing is going to transpire, it's not going to be running off to here, running off there, but it's going to be a message that comes that has migrated from the east to the westward. And when it hits the west coast, right about that time, there's going to be a surge of false prophets, false Christ, a bunch of men trying to draw people to themselves. But during that time, there's going to be a message come, and that message is going to be rejected. Right? It's going to become a carcass that the eagles are going to go to. That's what they're going to feed off of. So it shows you right there that in order for it to be a carcass, it had to be slain, because it's a slain body of a beast of some sort. So it's a slain beast, and that's what the eagles go to. And you know, eagles won't eat a bunch of rotten stuff. So it's fresh, killed, right here at the end time, when the gospel has reached the west coast, a message rises up of seven seals on sunset, because it's in the west, and that message is Christ Jesus the Lamb. The Passover in our day, if you want to look at it that way, because we're in an Exodus, he is slain, freshly slain, and we quickly go to that, even though everybody else has slain it and rejected it. We quickly go to that, and we're feasting on that carcass, as the scripture said. So he tells us here that this is what happens, that if you want to be part of this end time move that's going to come in this hour, he's telling you what to get away from and what to go to. Right? So what I want to show you here is that if I have to run over here and this man has to lay hands on me, it's with sensation. Mm-hmm. Right. Right? The instrumentality of man, the touching, the laying on hands, or sitting underneath this icon, or underneath this icon, right? All that is of the flesh. That's the arm of the flesh. And yes, God can move through things, the laying on of hands and stuff like that, but he wants to get us down the road to the place where we do not need those things. Because I want to tell you something. I'm pretty sure that on rapture morning, we're not going to come here to church and me or Brother Daniel come and lay hands on you, and as we lay hands on you, you're going to be body changed. It ain't going to happen that way. Nobody's going to touch you. You're not going to run to some man, to some specific church. You're not going to do that. That's not how it comes. It comes by feeding on this word that has been rejected, and that's what we're going to feed on. And Jesus said, if you want to know about this, then find the place where there's a fresh carcass of the word, as we're saying, a fresh carcass, and the eagles have gone there. That's where you're going to find this thing's going to take a place of this coming of the Son of Man. But it's not going to be running over here and running over there, and I got to go move and change my geographical location or change who I sat underneath or like that.
Right.
That just shows that you're all worried and you're not settled.
Right.
God wants you to be settled underneath the word.
Amen.
Right? That's what he wants you to be settled under. And so he's warning us about this. And when I see all this, what I'm looking at here is without sensation. He wants us to come to the place where we do not need the arm of the flesh to help us get to the place he wants us to go. We follow the message, the word, the voice of the angel, and him alone. And so he said, I love it, this scripture, every little word means something, and we mentioned this the other day, but when this would happen, he said it would be eagles that would be gathered there. That's where the eagles will be gathered. He's talking about the end time, and he says, when all this happens, you want to know what's really happening? Then go find the place where the eagles are eating. He didn't say, go find the place where the lion or the ox or the man is eating. Go find the place where the eagles are eating. Right? And God likens himself to eagles, and he likens his prophets to eagles. And now, here we are at a time where his entire church is sitting underneath an anointing of an eagle. First one out of all four beasts. The only one that can fly. The only one that can rapture. And Jesus said, go find where the eagles are going to be eaten. So that shows you where it is in the unfolding of things. And that shows you what kind of anointing is upon the people at that hour. They're eagles. They're not oxes. They're not the face of the man. They're not running around with the intellect of man trying to figure out the gospel. They are sitting underneath the eagle's message. They have that anointing upon them, and they are going to fly. And they're eating eagle's food. So Jesus tells us how this is to work. So no arm of the flesh at all is what he's trying to get us to. And, I've said this before. You know, we had long prayer lines in Mexico. Wonderful time. God does great things.
Right.
But that's not where he wants us to end up.
Right.
We got to go further than that.
Yep.
So I want to read several quotes here. He wants us just to be following after the word and the word alone. And these quotes might shock you a little bit, but you just bear with us. We'll get somewhere with it. In the greater than Solomon's here, Brother Brim says, now divine healing does not rest upon, remember, the laying on of hands. That's all right now. That's the American people. They have to have hands laid on them or they just don't believe it. That's all. You got to touch them in some way or it doesn't work. But now, if you'll just bear with me just a moment, not to be different, but that is not the way God deals with Gentiles. Really? You mean all these services that we've loved to be in and the laying on of hands and all this emotional stuff? That's not the way God deals with us? That's what he said. Now he says, we do this. We do. We have prayer lines. We have these things. But it's not God's perfect will for us. Where we're headed is beyond that. And I'll read the rest of them so you see what he's talking about. He says, but that's not the way God deals with Gentiles. That was a Jewish tradition. And you remember the Jews said to Jesus, my daughter, he uses the word variously because he couldn't think of the right word, I think. He says, my daughter is variously sick and she's dying. And said, come and lay your hands on her and she will get all right. Jewish. Brother Branham says Jewish. That's a Jewish man. Come lay your hands on my daughter, she'll get all right. But when he went to the Roman's house, the Gentile, he said, I'm not worthy that you should be under my roof. Just speak the word. And Jesus turned to the Jews and said, I haven't found such faith in Israel. We're familiar with that. Okay? In Elijah and the meal offering, Brother Branham says, now, I have to carry the American meanings in the way the people's been taught, laying on of hands. Now, that's the scriptures, but that's a Jewish tradition. That isn't for the Gentiles, but the Gentiles carry it over. The Gentile was, I'm not worthy that you would come underneath my roof, but just speak the word, and my servant will live. And that's right. But the Jew, what did he say? He said, come, lay your hands upon my daughter, and she'll live. And see, that was their tradition. It was not for the Gentiles. So there it is again. And he says it's over and over. I just picked out three of them. Over and over. Why is he saying that? To me, it goes right with what Jesus is saying. Don't run off over here. Don't run off over there. It's the word. Right? Just speak the word. And you know, Gentile, when I hear him say Gentiles, I hear him saying bride, because it's the Gentiles he goes to get a bride.
Right.
So he's saying to his bride, the word. Just speak the word. Now, think of the way the serpent went to Eve. It was that she was to receive the word, but he went to her with sensation.
Right.
And then Mary come along, which we'll talk about, without sensation. And he's asking us to the last Pentecostal age, he says, believe it without sensation. Mm-hmm. Believe it without having to feel something, without someone having to touch you, without the instrumentality of man laying hands on you or something like that. That's what he's saying to his Gentile bride. And be certain of God, Brother Ram says. Now remember, it's not the hands of the preacher that heals the people. That's a Jewish tradition. And the little man Zacchaeus that had his, he said, not Zacchaeus, but his daughter died. I can't think of the name right now. See, Brother Bram have trouble remembering things sometimes, even in the pulpit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so glad, because sometimes I don't remember stuff. But he said, I can't think of the name right now. He said, but when his daughter died, he said to Jesus, come lay your hands on my daughter and she'll live. He was a Jew. But when the Roman centurion had his servant at the point of death, he said, I'm not worthy that you come under my roof. Just speak the word and my servant will live. And Jesus turned and said, I didn't find that faith like that in Israel. And Brother Ram says, that's what the Gentiles ought to be. But we have fallen back on our traditions of laying on hands and so forth. But that's what it takes. So he thoroughly helped us to understand that as long as we're running after these things, as long as we feel like, well, I've got to go to Brother Eddie Biscoe's church, or I've got to go to Donnie Reagan's church, or I've got to go to Tucson, or I've got to go to Jeffersonville.
Mm-hmm.
As long as we feel that way, we haven't got there yet.
Right.
Because we have to come to that place where the instrumentality of man is out of the way. And that's why God took Brother Ram, so that the thing that we are touched with, that we are in love with, and we are in union with, has nothing to do with man. It has to do with Jesus Christ, the Word.
Right.
And you don't have to feel anything.
Yeah.
No goosebumps.
Right.
No tongues.
Mm-hmm.
No shouting. No hair standing up on the back of your... None of that. That's all stuff that can be imitated by Satan, too.
That's right.
Says a prophet, right? All these things could be imitated, but he can't be the genuine. Right? So this is what he's telling us there, that this is what we ought to be, and this is what it takes.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Doesn't mean God ain't going to meet you if you come to the prayer line or someone lays hands on you. He does do that.
Right.
But we're looking off out in the future where he wants us to take us to. To that rapture morning, or to not even just to rapture morning, but I believe God wants us to arrive to the place now in our daily walk where these things are resonant in our experience day in and day out.
Right.
Because it's when we get to that place, I believe we can make the greatest effect on the lives of people around us before we leave here.
Yeah.
So this is what he tells us. And so, you know, if that's where we're headed, you know, if you want to be something, you've got to exercise yourself in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to be a big muscled up guy, you've got to work out at the gym or work out to make that happen. And if we know that God wants us to be in a place where we don't have to sense anything in the flesh at all, that we can just simply on the basis of the word believe it, then that's where we need to work toward. Well, how do you get there? You don't become a muscled up man by staying home and eating tater chips,
right?
The things that got you all out of shape in the first place, that's not going to get you there. You've got to change what you're doing and start focusing toward where you're headed. And so we've got to begin to travail with God and wrestle with God like Jacob did, and wrestle with him and say, God, you've got to birth in me this thing that you really want me to be and want me to have. And if you want me to rise to the place where I don't need the faculty of man to do this, God, I'm wrestling with you. Put that in my life. Bring me to that kind of faith where that's what is happening in my experience.
Right.
See? But if you just sit back and say, yeah, I know we should be able to believe without having somebody lay hands on me or without speaking in tongues or something, I know we should be, but you don't do nothing to, see what I'm saying?
Right.
We've got to find where God wants us to be and start wrestling with God and staying focused. I want to hear what that angel's saying. Hush up, get this thing turned off. Turn that thing off over here. I want to hear what he's saying.
Right.
And I want to think about it and let it stir within me. And as I said it the other day, the Lord's still just bringing this back to me. You've got to foster these things. Sometimes God will give you a burden, and you take that burden for somebody that he's given, and you cultivate that, foster that, and do everything you can to keep that burden burning in your heart as long as possible, because eventually it'll go away. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right?
And so while that's there, God put that there for a reason, because it's through that travailing and that burden that you're reaching out on behalf of someone that you're getting something done in the spirit realm.
Yeah.
That's why he gives it to you.
Right.
So don't just say, oh, I got a burden today for someone, and you pray for them, and then you go off and get your mind all on other kinds of other stuff to get you off of that. Uh-huh. Sanctify that thing. Tell people, leave me alone. I got a burden. I got something I got to deal with. I got to get to God with this. And you go and stay with that thing and get as much out of that as you can before he takes it from you.
Yeah.
See? And so, now nothing, I'm just saying this because this comes to mind right now, and this is good, but so at the house last night, we played a little bit of games. But saints, believe it, playing those games wars against me coming in here this morning. To a minute, because I got something on my heart, something that's burning in me, and I need to stay with that. I need to keep that in my mind. I got to keep away from everything and keep that so I can walk to the pulpit with that in my heart and that burning. And then so, but you can do things that wars against it.
Right.
Not, it doesn't have to be bad things. Mm-hmm. But that's why Brother Ren told us the minister needs to get to himself and get be praying and in that environment so that when he comes to the pulpit, he's not all lost and off in whatever, see?
Right.
And so you see, there you got to look at your own Christian experience and say, I see this to be God, I know it's God, and I'm going to foster this and I'm going to cultivate it. So that God gets great things with this. Don't do things that works against it.
Right.
And there's a whole lot more things that work against it than the things that work for it. Mm-hmm. And so you have to look at where you're headed, and you've got to work toward that and let that be what you work toward. And not continue to go to other things that will fight against it. So God does meet us in laying on hands and all this stuff, but it's Pentecostal tradition. It's man's tradition carried over. It wasn't even for the Gentiles to begin with. That was for the Jews. Okay? But it's okay. If we need to lay hands on you, I'm fine with that.
Amen.
But I just want you to know, God's got us headed to a place where we're going to believe his word no matter what. And you'll find yourself in a situation where Satan will rise up, and Brother Tony won't be there, and Brother Daniel won't be there, and maybe your husband won't be there. And it's in those hours right there you've got to know that God is God, and his word is true, and you've got to stand on it. He is not a failure. He never has. And if you've got a place in your life that this doesn't seem to be working, it ain't him. He's not the problem. So we got to turn inward and ask ourselves, what's wrong here? And if we will get down to business with God and be serious with him and struggle, we can have victory one week, and by the next weekend we're fighting things again. But that is all to say that if you will get before God and you are serious and travailing, if you knock, it's going to be open to you.
Right.
He's not the failure. He'll get you there. And I've seen him do it many, many times. And I know most of you have too, but we've got to keep pressing on with this. And so, as we get to start talking about Mary here real quick, I want to just mention a couple of some of the other women in the Bible that's in the genealogy of Jesus. So if you look at Tamar, we've mentioned this in the past, but just briefly, these women all had some characteristic about their life that applies to the bride that will help us say, you know what, I see my walk in her. I see my victory in the same way she got victory. And what's going on in my life in a spiritual sense, what she was going through physically. Right? Mm-hmm. And so if you look at Tamar, you say, boy, it was a big deal about Tamar. Tamar was predestinated to bring forth that royal seed. And her womb could not produce that seed until she got back to the original seed. She had, it wasn't, she was married to Judah's son, and then married to another one of his son, and had no children by either one of them. They were not the original seed, not Judah. And so when she finally got back to Judah, the original seed, then she brought forth, right? And it shows you that this end time message has to come back to the place where it's right back to the original Jesus Christ, the Word in full, not some offspring, something from it, but the person, not just a movement, a church age or something like that, but come back to the literal person that started this in the first place, and that's who we're ordained to be with and to produce child from. So you see that in her life. You look at Rahab. Rahab, the scripture said, you know, like Tamar said, you know, she played the part of a harlot, but she, I remember I said the other day, she's not a harlot. Because by the laws of God, that was hers. That belonged to her. But you find here in the scripture where it said Rahab was a harlot. He called her a harlot. That's what she did. She had that living. But her status, and we all in our own right, taking in all kinds of worldly spirits as before we give our heart to the Lord. So we're all like that. But Rahab's position as a harlot, probably the lowest thing it could be thought of, her position was raised from that to the position that she had when she was married, and that position was given to her. She was raised from by marriage to a general in the army of Israel. Who's the greatest army that God's got in his general in his army? Jesus Christ. So we are destined to be pulled out of the poverty and all of the filth of the world through marriage to become wife to the greatest general there is. And you see things like that in there. So you look at Ruth. Ruth, the Moabitess, she didn't chase after the young men. She didn't chase after the... She wasn't looking... You know, when she went back with Naomi, she went back to the land of Israel. She wasn't looking for a strong, handsome young man that could make her feel good. She was looking for redemption. She didn't go after all that young stuff. She went after an old man who just happened to be the Redeemer. Those other guys couldn't redeem. He was the kinsman Redeemer. So it's not this modern religious stuff today that can redeem you. We've got to go back to that ancient one who is the kinsman redeemer. And it's not going to be because we want a sensation. Right. It's going to be because we want redemption. Yeah. And if our heart is right, we're going to want redemption back for Naomi, which is Israel. Right? So you see those. So when we come up to the life of Mary... Brother Bram had a lot of things to say about this, and I'll read it in some quotes here in just a minute, or one quote, one big long one. But Mary came from a terrible place, a mean city, a terrible city, typing an age. How could we, in this hour, with all the filth that we have all around us that we've been raised up in, how could God come to us and say, I want you to produce the word? But he did it with her, right? And so she believed this angel's voice, and she brought forth Jesus Christ without sensation. Right? She said, let it be according to thy word. Even though she knew. Now I imagine she said in her mind, and that angel's standing there talking to her, and he says, she says, I don't know, man. I don't know, man. He says, that's okay. Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you. And she's like, ooh, I'm espoused. You think that didn't go through her mind? She accepted the ridicule that was coming. Right? She knew if I accept this, I'm going to be put out. They're going to try and kill me probably. Right? But she accepted it. And so, because I say that, because, you know, we have to make our choice. What we're going to stand with. And so, you know, those people around Mary, they just couldn't believe her testimony. They just couldn't believe it. And the reason, one thing is, the reason why, because they believed that Mary had to come like everybody else. If you're going to produce child, you've got to have it by sensation. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? God had a different plan.
Right.
Without sensations. And she's a type of an end time church. And everybody wants to tell you, you've got to run and set underneath this many. You've got to go over here. You've got to have this hands laid on. You got to do this. You got to do that. No, you don't.
Right.
They thought, they just couldn't accept that. And they're probably interrogated her and said, now you come in here and sit down. Probably brought her in before all the authorities or whatever. I don't know. But now tell us how this happened. What'd you say? You said an angel come. Where was this at? What day was it? What did he say to you? Probably ask her interrogate. Now, come back tomorrow. Now, what'd you say? Well, I told you what he told me. No, tell us again. Because they just didn't believe her report. And it was all because they just simply couldn't believe that God would take a person like her and do something with her that they'd be jealous of. You mean God would really come to her? Yeah, he did. And they just couldn't believe it. And it makes me think about the story there in the scriptures where God caught Elijah up in the whirlwind. And that ministry of Elijah came back on Elisha. You know, Elijah is, my God is Jehovah. Because remember, Jesus on the cross, he says, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani. Eli, Eli, my God, my God. Elijah, Jehovah. So Elijah is my God is Jehovah. Elisha is my God is salvation.
Right.
It's a type of Jesus Christ. He is Jehovah and we are salvation. We are the heirs of salvation because of his life coming back on us in a greater portion.
Right?
Right? That's what that's a type of. And Elijah, this was the plan of God. God had to take Elijah in order for Elisha to come into her portion, his portion underneath that. He had to take Elijah.
Yeah.
But the people didn't want to believe that.
Right.
They just wanted to say, you know what? They were believers in Elijah, but they just didn't believe that God had taken Elijah. They thought, well, surely God dropped him off on some mountain, and they want to go find that. I've went through this with you many times. But you see, all that had to happen so that Elisha could come into the portion that he had, which was the desire of his heart to let that be, right? Because he had seen so much, and that's our desire. We want Christ to live in us,
right?
And so they just couldn't believe that was actually there, but Elisha knew. He knew what happened. He was there. It was as though he was in a secret chamber. Because they weren't over there on the other side, Jordan. They weren't there to see that. But he knew what happened. And regardless, this shows you how tough unbelief can be. He come back over with a mantle. He smote the water. It come apart. They saw the fact that it come apart and still didn't want to believe. They still said, oh, Elijah, it's Elijah. We got to go find him. And Elisha said, you're wasting your time. But they insisted on it. Okay, go ahead. And they went and they searched and they don't tell how long it took. They finally come back and he said, I told you. I told you that the ministry that was in William Branham is now in his bride, in the bride of Christ. Elijah, Elisha. See? But they just couldn't, now I want to ask you something. Who was it that refused to believe Elisha's report? Even though they could see God working with Elisha, who was it that could not believe Elisha? It was believers in Elijah. They believed in him. They knew Elijah was the prophet. Oh, the prophet Elijah, but not you. You're not the next. But Elisha was. See, these things are in the scripture for a purpose. Because we have people today, oh, Brother Branham, Brother Branham, and they're stuck with that, the instrumentality of man to such a degree, oh, he's going to come back. Yeah, and if he comes back, then you're going right back to the instrumentality of man. You're going here, you're going there, and you're not believing the word just simply based on the word. You're having to have some man which is not God's way with the Gentiles that he wants out of us.
Yeah,
you follow me?
Right.
See? And so they just couldn't believe that. Believers in Elijah. And so these people, religious people around Mary, they just couldn't believe it. Why? Because you've got to come the same way we come. You've got to be part of our denomination. You've got to be part of our system, which is instrumentality of man. Right? Now, those people there, and the numbers of the Bible, Brother Ben told us, if you miss the numbers of the Bible, you'll miss everything. Those people there that was dealing with Elisha and said, oh, no, we got to go. You know, God's maybe dropped him up on a mountain. There's a return ministry. There was 50 of them. 50, and the scripture said, they were strong. They believe we be strong. We can do this. We can seek, we can search through this word, and we can go through these mountains, and we'll find Elijah, because we can do that. They were highly thought a whole lot of themselves,
yeah.
Right? Instead of humility.
Right.
But there were 50 of them. So the scripture, when I see that, I see God saying, these people, all they had, even though they were prophets, all they had was a Pentecostal experience. They had not risen to the place that Elisha had. So they couldn't accept Elisha's testimony. And so people today that have still got to have the instrumentality of a man, William Branham, to think he's got to come back, that's all they are. They're just Pentecostals. They haven't risen to the place beyond needing to have someone lay hands on them, or to have something they can rally to or be touched, or have something they can have an icon they can rally around. They haven't reached that place yet. This is what the message tells us. And so you see this happening. So Brother Graham comes along and he says, in this message called "The Seed Is Not Air with a Shuck." Now that sounds strange to us. The seed is not air with a shuck. When you think about an heir, you're thinking about, okay, this is the king, and you know his son's going to be heir, or a man that owns a plantation or farm or whatever, and his son is going to be heir, right? And you don't think about servants, you know. And so you'd say, you'd say, well, these servants aren't going to be heir with the seed. Or the shuck is not going to be heir with the seed. But the way Brother Bram said it was, the seed is not going to be heir with the shuck. So there's something coming to the shuck that the seed's not going to have to deal with. Think about it. So he's telling us that. And in this sermon, Brother Graham lays it out and he says, now, we have Abraham, and, you know, he was the promise. God gave his promise to Abraham, and there was a promised seed that was going to come through him, which would eventually be Christ. And so in that sermon, he says that Hagar, she bore children, a child to Abraham, right? And then Sarah bore children to Abraham, right? And so he was showing her, he said, Hagar was like justification, like the stalk that comes up out of the ground through Luther. That's what he said. Hagar was that. Because she did produce children to Abraham, but it was by sex. But then he said, Sarah, now she was not the bondwoman, like Hagar was. She was not the bondwoman. She was the free. And she brought forth a son to Abraham, Isaac, which went on to be the nation of Israel, the people who served God. But he said, but it was by sex. Sensation with Hagar. Sensation with Sarah. Right? But then Brother Branham comes along and he said, but Mary, she was Pentecost. She was like Pentecost. And she brought forth the real seed. And he said, you know, as you went from Hagar to Sarah to Mary, that was more like the grain. He said that, you know, Luther didn't look a whole lot like grain, but Wesley with the tassel did, because the tassel, little stuff on top, kind of looked like grains of wheat on top. Then you come to the shuck, and he said Mary was actually the shuck. Looked a whole lot like the grain. Pentecost looked a whole lot like an end time message that could rapture us.
Right.
Looked like it, because the power of God was in that movement, right? But Pentecost is tied to sensation.
Right.
Pentecost is tied to something other than pure grain. See, because the seed is not shuck. The seed is not blade. It's not tassel. It's not shuck. The seed is pure seed. Right? So he says that Hagar, or you know, that stalk is not wheat. That tassel's not wheat. They were carriers of it. Right? And he would come down and said, so Mary is not that seed, but she's a carrier of it. And so he laid that out. This was Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost. And so Pentecost representing Mary, and Mary had to come into encounter with the angel, and she had to believe. And so you realize that as God would live out his life in his church through one stage, through the next stage, and then finally through Mary, that same life would eventually have to become the seed itself. Right? Has to be the seed itself. And so he says, Mary was not that seed, but she was the carrier of it. But Mary believed. So now the Pentecostal church, they have to believe the word to produce that.
Right.
And if they don't believe it, if they stay with sensation, if they stay with laying on of hands, if they stay with all this instrumentality of man, see, then that's what they are. But if she can believe the word without sensation, then she'll produce the word. And Mary, by her belief, produced her own redemption. Right? Not like the Catholics say, but by her believing, and this was the only way he could come. He could only come that way through the heart of a believing woman. He couldn't come by instrumentality of man. The pure word. Brother Bram said the word that satisfied and brought to pass all the scriptures, everything the scripture said was in Christ Jesus. And the only way he could come was through what happened there with Mary without the instrumentation of man. She didn't feel anything. She didn't sense anything. She didn't have any encounter with any physical things. She just believed the word that was brought to her and produced the Son of God. And what she produced was her own Savior. What she produced was her own resurrection. So now here we are at the end of end time church, and if we can believe the word without sensation, we'll produce the very thing that brings our body change. That's why Brother Brim said, we cannot receive that promised Son in these bodies. It's tied together. That promised Son coming is the transition of our body change. See? And so that has to be that way. So the only way that this could happen would be by belief. Now I'm going to read this. We're almost done. Seed is not heir of the show. Brother Ram says, Sarah, the true wife of a promise, being the tassel, brought forth a gentleman. Sarah brought forth the tassel, which was a gentleman, not a wild man like Ishmael was through Hagar. She brought forth a gentleman, and in the returns brought forth a promised nation that served God. But Mary, by no sex at all, but believed the promised word when she was a virgin, knowing no man. And the angel of the Lord said in her, Hail Mary, blessed art thou among women, for God is with thee. And she said, How are these things going to be? The angel said, The Holy Ghost shall overshadow thee. And it had never been done in all the ages. But Mary believed and said, and she said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. She believed the word. How's she going to have it? She knew that Hagar had a baby by sex desire with Abraham, and Sarah had a baby by sex desire with Abraham, children of the promise, the bondwoman and the free woman. But here she's asked to believe that a contribution to the faith that was in Abraham, who believed the impossible, as long as God said so, that makes it right. She believed God and never questioned, and she said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. No matter how much criticism I have to bear from the world, be it unto me according to thy word. And there comes forth the genuine seed. See, Hagar couldn't do it because it was by sex. Brother Rem says, that's right, and neither could Sarah because it was by sex. And neither can the church under sectarianism. It takes a virgin belief of the word of God that made the promise to bring forth children. Sectarianism will never bring forth a reborn church. It cannot do it. It'll bring forth some substitutionary something. It'll bring forth something that imitates it. something that tries to be like it, but a genuine born-again church of God believes the word, and in the face of anything else, regardless of what it is, because it's unadulterated, it's by the promise of God that these things is to come. Mary, the true one, said, without sex, said, "Be it unto me according to thy word. Behold, thy handmaiden." And she brought forth. And what did she bring forth? Not a wild man, not a nation. But she brought forth the word of God himself, God made manifest in the flesh. Amen. The true seed of God that manifested every promise that God had made in the Bible. And without him, no man can live. Without him, see, she was the true seed, or she went beyond, and she was the shuck that brought forth the grain. And now, the other twos was just carriers, only a natural seed. So he goes on to explain it. You can listen to it. I was listening to it this morning. So he lets us know right there, the only way that you can bring forth the word, the living word, is to be like Mary. Mm-hmm. And that was without sensation. Right? That's to bring forth the royal seed. And he ended it by saying, that's the only way we can live. The only way we can go further, church, bride, is to produce Jesus Christ. And you will not produce Jesus Christ if you have to be touched with instrumentality of man. It has to be a revelation in your heart. That's what you got to come to, and that's what we need to press toward. That's what we need to agonize to God with and wrestle with God until he blesses you, until you understand that. And God will be resident and present in the midst of your life. You'll start exhibiting the expressions of Jesus Christ by spoken word in your life. You know, it's kind of foreign to us. You know, Brother Bram was born, and throughout all those years, I mean, he'd come to know the presence of God when God was speaking to him. You and I don't go around raising the dead all the time. We don't have those things happening all the time, but God is bringing us to a place where these things of the supernatural has to be more present in our life. That's what we need to look for. Not to be seeking signs and wonders, but to seek for a walk with God so that he will testify that you please him, like it was with Enoch, because you're walking with him. So we see in the scriptures, you know, where he said, go into the world, baptizing them, and he said, and the Lord went with him, confirming the word with signs and wonders. So there has to be something to show that the real church of God is the real church of God, the bride of Christ. It has to be something different than the rest of the world, or the rest of the world's, you know, different, see? But God sets us apart, and he sets us in a place where no one can come except God puts them there. So Brother Ram said, you couldn't, no church under sectarianism. And so I looked up sectarianism. It said an excessive attachment to a particular sect or party, especially in religion. So you see, you could say, well, I'm a child of God. I'm a Christian. I'm it. I'm going in the rapture. Why? Well, because I'm a Baptist. Well, you know better than that. Well, because I'm a Methodist or I'm a Catholic. You know better. Because I'm a Pentecostal. You know better. I hope you do. Well, because I speak in tongues. I hope you know better. Right? Well, because I prayed for the sick and, you know, whatever. Okay? Do you follow me? Well, because I follow this message, William Branham. Well, they believed in Elijah too, but they rejected the further movement of God in Elisha. Right? See? You got to go beyond, and it's not because you belong to some group of people, or you belong to some movement, or you've moved to this church, or you've moved to that church. That's not it at all, right? It's that you belong to Jesus Christ, the Word. That is the difference. Amen. And God will do things, and you, like I said, you need to be expecting these things to be so, because he's promised that it would be so, right. And that's what we're going to shoot for. I'm going to end by telling you just a little bit of testimony here. And I know I've given this prayer request over the church or whatever. And when I say this, I'm not, you know, I don't want you to think highly of me or Brother Daniel or anything like that. And this is not a testimony from Mexico, so you can relax. But, you know, I have given you the testimony or the prayer request several times for my sister and her daughter. And I'm going to give you just a little bit of background. So My sister's name is Donna. She has a daughter named Jennifer. Jennifer, when she was in birth, somehow or another, her oxygen supply got cut off. I don't know all the details. But anyway, it caused some major issues, and so she's had to deal with those issues her whole entire life. And I think they rate her along about the age of 15 in her mind. She's 35 years old, but she is in her mind about 15 years old or so. And so I talked to her, and she reminds me, nothing bad, okay, but she just reminds me of Holly Prater. That's the way she talks. So, she's not a 35-year-old woman in her mind, but she's fine. Well, because of her, in her situation, she'd get up in the middle of the night sometimes and go out and just go walking down the street or whatever, kind of, and the police come on, pick her up, and take her back. And after this happened several times, the authorities in the state of Oklahoma took her from the family. And so she was in an institution. And they felt like that her actions, needed that kind of attention. And so, that obviously would hurt a mommy, right, to know that had happened. And my sister had been going through a lot of medical issues herself, and which the Lord has come along and brought her out of that. She's doing really well. But anyway, so I gave you the request for Jennifer. She was... Nobody really knows, I guess God does, what really happened. But wherever this place was that happened, my dad said that they had a tornado or some high wind or something, I don't know, and I guess startled everybody in there, who knows. But anyway, she wound up with an injury on her leg. I don't guess anybody knew about it. But it turned out that she had blood clot there, and they didn't know. And next thing you know, she went downhill just... Next thing you know, she's in the hospital on the brink of death. And some time went by, and they located these blood clots in her lungs. And I think you remember that. It's your memory telling it. So they found these blood clots in her lungs. And I think it was a week or two later they found blood clot in her brain. So she had a stroke, and she was laying there. And my sister said she couldn't even suck a bottle. She couldn't talk. She couldn't move. She said the only thing she'd do is just kind of move her eyes a little bit when her mother would talk to her. And she had been that way for at least 2 or 3 weeks like this. Well, with stroke victims, they tell you time is of the essence, right? If you get to it quickly, you might be able to reverse it. So she's laying there like that and on the brink of death and had to put a feeding tube in because she couldn't even eat. She was just laying there like a vegetable. And so my sister called me one night. She was just really distraught and crying, and she'd asked me to pray for her on the phone, and I did. And I don't know when it was exactly, but it was just a few days later. I come home from work one day. This was, it was December 20th. So anyway, I come home. I don't remember if I was coming from work, but I came home on December 20th. And I'm going to read to you what I sent her. And I felt really compelled of the Lord to send to her what I did. And I remember while I was writing it, I said a while ago, we're not used to this kind of stuff, but we need to get used to it. We need to realize that God has an entity on this earth to touch and reach out and to speak and do things. If he's going to speak and get something done, it's not going to be Brother Bram. He's gone. Mm-hmm. It's got to be us because we're the Elishas. And so, and I'm thinking to myself, as I'm typing this, who am I to type this? But I know God wants me to say this. And so this is, I went ahead and went with it. And so I got a picture of Jennifer, and I put it with the text, and you can see it there at the top. And so this is what I said. And again, I'm not trying to get you to look at me. I just want you to know what hour we're coming into. And you got to believe it and press for it. So I said, to my precious sister and her daughter, I have been watching over and praying over the attached picture. And I want you to know that your case has been placed before the Lord Jesus Christ, who is very mindful of all his children. He is so wonderful and he is mighty in battle. The world wants him to be dead, but he is so much alive, and he is present and ready to do everything that he promised to do for his saints. I am asking him to provide a miracle for you, and I feel compelled to tell you to set your wings in the winds of faith and watch for a miracle. Just sit tight while believing and watch what he will do. Satan cannot do anything about it because God's bride is victorious by the blood and by his word. I send this blessing to you in his wonderful name, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for his glory, that he may be praised. Watch for it, expect it, and prepare for a change. Amen. And you know, people don't normally talk like that. But when God tells you to do it, you do it. And so, when I came home from Mexico, I came home that evening to a text from my sister. And she said, I want you to know that my daughter got to come home today. Not back to the institution, but back to mom.
Amen.
And I called her and I talked to Jennifer. And I didn't know, her mother put her on the phone, and I had never talked to her before. And so she got on the phone and she sounds like her mama. And so I was thinking, did she just hand the phone to Donna, to Jennifer? And that's what I was thinking. I thought, well, it seems different, but it might still be Donna. I said, who is this? She said, who do you think it is? I said, well, is this Jennifer? She said, yes, this is Jennifer. And she said, I'm home now. So, you know, believe. I mean, at the cry of your heart, don't you want to be able to express Jesus Christ in that way?
Amen.
Right? We want to do that. And saints, I'm telling you, any enemy, if you're following, you know what this angel has said, if you're following those things, you have a right to say, God, you said that you would be an enemy to my enemy. I've got a pain, I've got a sickness, I've got a loved one, I've got a child, whatever it is, that's an enemy to you,
yeah.
Right? Then you have a right to go to him and say, God, I'm believing your angel, I'm listening to that angel, and I need you to take care of this situation. Because I just want to touch lives. I don't want glory to myself. I'm not trying to have people run to me so that I can lay hands. I just want people to believe this word such that they can get what God said they could have just simply by believing. Amen? And so that's what we want to do. And God will give it to you. But you've got to set that out there as a focus and say, that's where I'm headed. And in my daily walk, I'm going to adjust the things I do and what I'm doing. I'm headed toward that, and I'll do whatever I have to do to move in that direction, following that angel's voice. And that's how we get to rapture. That's how we become this express word of Jesus. This is how we birth the very thing that's going to change our bodies, the very Christ present in this age, the thing that he's wanted to do all along, right, to express himself in that way. Amen. God bless you. Let's let the musicians come. I trust the Lord has spoke to you today, that you know what to follow after. And you know what? I said a while ago, you know, you've got to change what you're looking for. And if you know that you're guilty, I want everybody to hear this, even the musicians coming up here. If you know you're guilty of leaning onto the arm of the flesh, you know that you want to run to this or you want to run to that. Okay, if that's where you are for right now, but set that out there as a focus of going forward. But you know what? If you know you're doing something wrong, contrary to that angel's voice, if you want help, the first thing you got to do is repent of it. You can't just not repent and say, God, help me, and keep right on doing the same things. You've got to cut off these things that are contrary to the message, right? And sometimes, you know, I have very few people in my family that want anything to do with me very far at all. Right? One of them sitting right there, see? Mary and Richard. But most of my family, they don't want nothing to do. They want me to pray over their food when we have a gathering. But that's about it. You know what? They might ask you a question once in a while, but that's as far as it goes because the answer they get isn't what they want. See? God calls you to walk with Him, and sometimes that means you can't walk with your friends, lifelong friends or whatever. Right? But you know what? Small price to pay. When we can put ourselves in a place where God can come in and can say, I want you to go and I want you to speak my word and I want you to say this, and Satan won't be able to do nothing about it. Right? And then watch what God does. There's a certainty of the word of God. We're not prophets, but I tell you what, by believing the message, we are the bride. Amen. And so we're entitled to all those things that He has said we can have. We'll pray just for a moment. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your presence and for these truths that You have given us, and allow us to be able to look into these things in a further depth, Lord. And I'm asking for a special blessing on every person in this assembly, Lord. God, that they would be able to identify in their own lives these places where maybe we're still hung up with things that's holding us back, Lord. And to be able to place them in prayer before You and agonize and struggle with You, that You might reach out and You might touch them, Lord. Make them princes with You, that they can go forward with the blessing of God. And these things that You promised could be in Your church, in Your bride, Lord, they'd be resonant in every life, even our young people, Lord, that there would be testimonies to come back from how they spoke the word of God to those at school, and the great things have happened, Lord. We don't hold You back in any way, God. We're giving You the ability just to take our lives and touch the entire world with it. Lord, we just give You the praise and honor and ask, God, that You would do this to every church member, every person here today. God, that You would just cause a strength to rise up in their walk. And may they be victorious. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's all stand. Let's worship the Lord just for a moment.